magic spell to use.
Slime and snails,
or puppy dog tails,
thunder or lightning.
And baby said,
Closer, welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to bring you closer to the divine, to the vessels of God, to speak righteous to the unholy. Praise the God, praise the old and the new. Hezoth, ahoy's Hezoth.
Very good. Very good. I knew you'd be incorporating the theme today, but I didn't think you'd do this quite such vigour. I liked it.
Heather! Ah, ois Heather! Not on this earth. So I love when we talk about religion. I always like to pretend I'm some like Westphalian pastor who gets really into it.
Yeah.
And the thing about God is he's very similar to like a rugby pitch. You've got to have your tries, your forwards, they do a lot of the heavy lifting. That's the first part of the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely thought you were just going to quote Gavin Stacey then. It's like, the bread is the Holy Ghost. The filling is
you're
the
damn
spirit.
Cockney.
Yeah.
Hang on, sound familiar? Beautiful.
Yeah, baby. What are you on tonight?
What are you drinking?
Oh, I've finished a bit on Trent's Finest. That's gone down. Like swill to a pig that has already been consumed. So I'm on the Bud Light tonight. Pint cans of Bud Light. They were on offer in old co-op. So I grabbed a few of them.
Well, my partner, who isn't a big drinker, has become a big drinker. I've worked my magic on it. No, she's having a bit of a tough old time at work, so she's having more wine than she normally would have, which is an absolute red bottle of wine to a bull with me, because I'm like, oh, great, I get some.
I was going to say, sorry, I didn't mean to say I love that as into Emma struggling at work. What I meant to say I love that is you've obviously gone, listen, the best way to deal with it, right, is fucking crack open a bottle. Get it down, yeah.
Well, I've not been pushing it, but she's like, oh, I'm going to have a glass of red, and then like two glasses of red.
I don't believe it for a second. Even if it's not overtly, you've been giving the little looks across
when
the room and going.
When she stops pouring, I just put my hand at the bottom of the hilt. Yeah, go keep pushing. That ain't going to touch the sides.
Putting bottles of wine in places that are really obvious to see, you know? Just this sort of thing.
She was like, oh, I really would love a bottle of wine. I was like, oh, well, I'll go to the shops for you then. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pick up some for myself. Shall I? Get some on the way.
Yeah, I don't even mind. I don't even mind going.
So I went over and I bought some Dutch Carlsberg Pilsner. Isn't that weird?
Oh,
isn't
that... Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Dutch
Carlsberg.
Smoking a pancake.
Yeah. Oh, that's a keeper.
Oh, that's a keeper. Yeah, so I'm on the Pilsner, which I really is because, it was like a crate for eight, which is always pretty good going for £8.
Crate for eight. That's always good. That's why it rhymes.
Why it rhymes. I was quite happy with that when I said that then.
It was good, I thought it sounded like, I was like, is it off the cuff or is he planned that? Because
that's completely off the old noggin.
It's obviously agrees with you. The Carlsbergs or Pilsners are quite good, actually. I don't mind.
Yeah, they're nice, man. Do they even do normal Carlsberg anymore, though?
I don't know. I think maybe Pilsner's pushed out the usual, isn't it? I think it's the standard now. Yeah. Yeah.
I like saying that to pretty much anything. So when sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's Cardoni now. And they call it progress. I mean, yeah, it is. It's good progress.
What was it you were saying to me the other day when we went up on our road trip? Oh, rah, rah, rah. And he was like, oh, rah, 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 about calling it progress.
Yeah, rah, 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 rah. Like, well, I think we should all start using rah, rah, rah as a like a shorthand for yabbering on or just like filling the gap. So I went to Tesco's, rah rah rah, got some booze in, rah rah, lady the till was giving a bit of this, rah rah rah.
And, I feel it's more effective than blah as well.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
As pushed out blah, rah. I mean, they call it progress, but
they call it progress. Yeah. Well, anyway, I was in work the other day, rah rah rah, giving it a bit of this, and you got to always move your hand with it. I'd love it.
Rah rah rah.
Rah, 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 you know what it is.
Anyway. Had a lot of fun with it on the way up.
Yeah. I was always in a Chinese, rah, rah, rah. I got my crispy beef there, it was banging. it's in for anything. It could be a good thing or a bad thing, but you just got to add a bit of rah, rah, rah to your life.
Yeah, exactly. But take it from us, guys.
But it does come a bit addictive because I say it in work all the time. So I'm like, right, so I'll email this, rah, rah, rah. I'll get... It sounds really dismissive.
I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it to be overused in your head, and then you'll come up with something else. You'll be like, look, mate, I'm going back to blah, okay? Blah, blah, blah. It's the new rah, rah, rah.
I do quite like blah, blah, blah. It's a good one. Blah, blah,
it's
blah,
already,
blah.
It's already coming back. I call it.
I only call it progress. We should start off with our producer credit for this week.
Oh, yes, we should. Who's this? So let me get it up. We've got him here.
Whilst you get it up, I'll explain. So every week we read out, well, we dedicate the episode to one of the top tier Patreon subscribers in the Taylor category for supporting the show, because they help keep the lights on, keep the thing running, keep a roof over our heads. And anyway, rah, 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 here's this week's one.
Yeah. So today, it's a Sir Samuel Spencer.
No, Sir Samuel!
It was so hard not to just say Samuel Smith then, just out of like pure habit.
Which just is a great brewery, if you don't know.
Great brewery, great pub owner.
Apparently great pubs, best pubs in London, really good pub in Cardiff. Mad owner. The guy who was like renowned for being like, he doesn't let you have your phone on in there. He didn't used doesn't to like swear it in there. Yeah. He used to like be a bit of a prick apparently to like the landlords, but the pub, the booze is really, really good pints. It's a local brewery in Lancaster, I think, and they're really affordable pints in London. So get yourself.
He normally, apart from during COVID, he was one of the few people who hadn't like put up a price of a pint in ages. Before COVID, he was still like £3.50 a pint.
Yeah, it was crazy.
We know that's not you, Samuel Spencer, but I tell you what, you can have some credit. We'll just give you the credit for that
because he's done as Sir Samuel Spencer.
5 seconds. Yeah, we didn't give you 5 seconds of your own shout out there before we went off on a tangent. So Samuel Spencer, thank you for all the lovely pubs and the beer, mate, because you'll just get it by proxy. Why not?
Yeah, and thank you also for
mainly thank you, yeah, for the Patreon as well. Yeah. You are part of the Taylor.
Yes, and also to the people we've emailed on the Patreon recently about your like personalized artwork and stuff, try get back in touch with us so we can do that stuff for you. So because I think we've sent you an email ready for your personalized artwork and your dedicated episodes.
If you want to give us something for nothing, by all means, message us back and say you don't want it. But we are more than willing to keep our end of the bargain up. So
Jack sees this as such like a, because you see it as like such a mini business we're running. But I think really it's just people being supportive of the pod. You're like, they'll take us to court if we haven't given them their artwork.
That's being because I'm an absolute skinflint, and I'd be like, if I pay you that much, you give me what I want. This is a verbal contract. So
it's crazy
though.
That the amount of people who've gone for the most expensive tier, because like me and you would be like, I don't know, I sponsor a few Patreons and I'm always on the £5 tier, which gets you two free episodes, two extra episodes a month that come out every other Wednesday. We got loads of generous people on the, well, I mean, anyone who did.
Yeah, because we set up the Taylor tier as like, we thought hardly anyone's going to go for that, like, surely. Yeah, that's the most popular one. Yeah. I mean,
but it means we have to do loads more work.
Yeah, that's the only annoying thing. Yeah, thanks for that, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Well, anyway, that's the admin done. Do you want to give us one of your classic anecdotes?
I got a few. Ready to go. I have not prepped these, so they are going to be stunted as usual. Right, so I've just come back this weekend. I went away to Beard Gellert again. I went last year. I sort of fell in love with the place because it was, I think it was about like May time or something like that. So it was like perfect weather for it. No, for anyone who's not been to Beard Gellert, it's like this little town in the middle of like, what, three mountains, basically surrounded by mountains on all sides. Lovely river going through it. It's very picturesque. There's pubs along the river and everything. It's like ideal. And I was like, I got to retire. I got to do this. Since then, on my second visit, I don't know, I enjoyed myself very much. But I did realize there isn't really much to do there. Because the last time I went, we literally stopped in there, went to Gellert's grave. Gellert being the dog from like Welsh folklore.
We cover him in one of our other episodes.
We do. I won't go through the story now. But supposedly his grave is there. So we went to just go see that, and it was like a real like passing visit. This time we stayed there for the whole weekend, and we went to go see the grave again. We took the dog this time, so it was like, oh, this is a Welsh hero to you, Alfie, my little golden retriever.
It wasn't lost on him.
No, I was like, you pay your fucking respects, boy.
And bow.
Yeah, bow to him.
You bow to no one.
But like we took, you know, we arrived there on the Friday sort of afternoon. Went for some, we had some food, we had some drinks and all that sort of stuff. That next day, we got all day here today on the Saturday, what are we going to do? So we had a walk, went to see Beth Gallet, the grave.
Again.
Walked around a bit. Yeah, it hasn't changed, the history is the same. And then we walked back around and the walk took maybe, because we were taking a long time, we let the dog in the river and all that. Took about an hour. And then it was like
a walk.
No, and then it was like, right, what now, sort of thing. And there really is not much else to do. Yeah, we went to the calf first. I had to contend with that first. My thing was pub first, but all right, go to the calf.
You did say to me that you want us to move to Beth Gellert when you went there last year.
Did I say move? Or did I? Yeah. Last year, I've changed my tune because there really is nothing to do after like day two.
But
the pubs are great. The pubs are great. Don't get me wrong, it's great. The pub's great. But it was good. But there is just nothing else to do. Do you know what I mean? Like even in, you know, other small villages
do you need?
And stuff to do.
Mountains.
Yeah, you'd think that, and I feel almost like I'm betraying my own personality by saying that that's not enough. But it's beautiful. And
I think we
the pubs
are beautiful.
beautiful place in Britain.
I do think, because we live like in very busy areas, you sometimes get like idyllic ideas of moving out somewhere. Then the minute there's no Deliveroo or Uber Eats, I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
I did think that, because that was the thing. I was like, what if I get bladdered one night, come home after the pubs are closed, and I go, ooh, I fancy, you know, a scatty pizza, I fancy a square pizza, I fancy a bloody, what was that one I loved, the Afghan place?
Cattywalk,
I fancy a cattywalk.
Yeah.
I was
thinking, if you're from Cardiff, there's an amazing Afghan curry place called Cattywalk that used to spicy wings the size of your fist, but they're slightly smaller now.
Oh,
but it was so tasty.
Slightly smaller. They're still, you know, the size of your palm now, maybe. I don't know. But I did think, where's my Cattywalk? Where's my square pizza go? You know, I started, the mind monkeys got at me. I forget the point of this bloody story now.
Nothing to do there?
That was it, basically. It's great pubs. Go for a weekend. I'd highly
You're like
recommend
Anthony
it.
Bordeaux, and Bourdain. This is great insights into the area.
There's
not
also
much to do.
Very picturesque there. Brilliant. I would highly recommend it for a weekend. There we go. That's my endorsement to Beth Gellert.
Yeah. But it wasn't so you decided we're not gonna move there now?
Yeah, sorry. I started to upend our retirement plan, but we're not gonna go there anymore. We're gonna have to find someone a new candidate. City or town that has basically square pizza go and catwalk.
We did a road trip recently that kind of went horribly wrong. So we're going to do an episode on that later on this week. And it didn't go horribly wrong. It just didn't work. Nothing worked out how we thought it would. And it was a bit more stressful than we first imagined.
It planned, did it? It went to pot, you might say.
Yeah. So we'll do a debrief on that next week, I think. But it was funny, but I think we've learned that maybe we're not the best
I think we're great at planning. I think we're fine at planning. It's just when the slightest thing goes wrong, we go, fuck it all out the window then. Go to the pub then. Go to the fucking pub.
What was it?
What happened.
You went away with your wife and parent-in-laws, didn't you?
Jack
goes to bed at like 10 p.m. It's absolutely mad how early you go to bed. If you're lucky.
If I can make it that long.
If I can make it that long, hey. You've been very Geordie today.
I'm a bad sleeper. Yeah. I fucking love it, man. I should be so lucky.
You had sausage in a cup.
Sausage in a cup, yeah. But like, I do wake up early. I'm a bad sleeper as it is, right? So I wake up early and I walk the dog every morning anyway. And then it's like, because that, you know, you get used to your weekly routine.
Your rhythm.
On the weekends then. Your cacardic rhythm is the same. So like, I just, past 9 o'clock, my eyes start to droop. I start getting a bit fucking groggy and all that. That's why I strive so much on the weekends to like do stupid o'clock finishes when I've had
maybe
a
that's
beer,
why you're so tired,
like,
of the week, because
there might be a self-fulfilling thing. Yeah,
I would say,
you mention it
after our, so we did the road trip on the Saturday. I think it probably took me probably 7 days to recover from how exhausted I was from the hangover and everything, and just the journey home. I was just we won't go into it tonight because it'll be quite a fun episode, but I don't think I've ever been that broken. I was just absolutely
you were, yeah You were pretty bad. Like, even a couple of days later, I was like, oh, what a weekend. And you were like, don't fucking talk to me.
I guess. You did this to me.
Yeah.
Have I got anything to tell you? I don't think I've had too much good bounce recently. I think I've still been really rocked by how much the weekend awake destroyed me.
You haven't allowed yourself any banter just to even yourself out.
How long are the notes, do you think, for tonight?
It's about 7 pages worth.
All right,
so not huge. But
should we crack on?
Go on, we'll get to it, is it?
Yeah.
All right. So, as people probably know, as we always say, if you look at the bloody title, you know what it is. So this is the list of...
We get hyper-fixated. I mean, that's a problem I have in general anyway. I get hyper-fixated in many things. But we can't let just... We struggle now that we've mentioned that the name of the episode is on your phone already. So every week we go, well, you know what it's about. So just just accept it. We don't know how to transition to it anymore.
Resentful of the title.
Well, nice one, mate. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
Spoil it for yourself.
Yeah. So this one is about gods, right? The Welsh
Celtic gods.
But not just
gods. Welsh gods.
Welsh gods. The gods.
I thought that's quite a cool title name. Welsh gods.
Welsh gods. So this is like this is my attempt at kind of compiling a Welsh pantheon, if you like. So if any mythology lovers out there, like Greek mythology or Norse mythology, there's usually like quite a what's called like a set lineage, if you like, you know. So there's like a hierarchy of who's the dads and who's the brothers and all that sort of stuff.
Who's the daddy?
Who's the daddy, who's a mummy, who's a brodyr, who's a chwiorydd. That's brothers and sisters, by the way. And, I don't think that's very evident in the Mabinogion sometimes, you know. It just says username.
Pantheon just means, like, do you want to explain that word
just
for us?
Like a collection of gods, you know, like, sort of, and where they, and what domain they reside over. So, you know, like, if you had your Zeus's, he's the god of, like, the sky and thunder, and you got Apollo, god of the sun, etc.
Aphrodite's.
Yeah, exactly. Aphrodites, exactly. Yeah. Any Greek mythology lovers like spinning now, just listening to that. But
this is a Welsh podcast, and we don't want any Greeks.
Yeah, we're pure, all right.
Yeah, we're in here for Welsh gods, none of this Greek malarkey. It.
So,
don't want you get in Greek. You're in Rhodes.
Whatever you get across the pond. Yeah, but yeah, so I just try to compile sort of something and make a bit more of like a lineage, bit of sense of it kind of thing. I want to, before I forget, to actually thank a Mara Starling and Gresham College on YouTube, because these those videos, I saw a couple of videos by them that kind of inspired this and sort of made me compile this together, and they were very very informative as well. So thank you to them.
Cool.
But to anyone who doesn't know, it's important to... let you know.
Well, I think this is a good
list.
One. Sorry, just to interrupt one more time. I don't know fuck all about this stuff, and this is kind of your remit, isn't it? So I am the audience here. I don't know diddly.
Mate, you're both my partner and the canary as well. So you tell me if I'm getting too confused.
I don't know why. I thought you'd say my partner and my lover. You're both my partner and my lover.
Nothing to do with the episode. You're my partner and my lover. Anyway, back
that's why we're so
Welsh
fresh.
Yeah.
And we're the Welsh gods, hot bod gods.
Yeah, it's all a ruse. We're going to say it's us. We're the Welsh gods. Get over. We're going to talk about this
sucked
now
in.
For another half hour. So, sorry. Anyway, getting distracted. I imagine there's going to be many a riff tonight. But anyway, so before we get into this list.
The riff gods.
Yeah, the gods of the riff, the Welsh gods of the riff.
I will shut up now because I bet I'm
it's okay. That's all good, mate. It's all part of the plan, isn't it?
The plan.
What was I going to say? I've actually lost my train of thought now.
Before we, you said you were going to start off before we get in.
Right. Before we get into it, so I need to say this as a caveat, because if there's anyone who's actual, like, a historian or mythologist listening and they go, that's not quite right. This
and they
a
would
lot of this,
sound like that.
Yeah, and they would sound like that because you're boffins. The Welsh Celtic beliefs are so old that there's really not a lot of written references to it. And what does remain... is few and far between for one, and also is it a lot of it, as I was researching, it references like other stories and characters as if we should know who they are. It's almost like it's an incomplete works. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have enough surviving material. So these things that reference each other, we don't have the reference points. So certain, like, mythological texts and things like that will go, oh, you know, this, that, this story and that story. And we have no record of those stories because they never survived. So a lot of this is to be taken with, like, a pinch of salt. It's, like, best guess, essentially. Yeah. And also, Welsh
this is your interpretation of it. So
yeah,
all
it's
these
that as well.
Interpretation. So we're getting to hear your
exactly.
version of that.
And if you listen to last week's episode where we had Dr. Cymraegon, I said this before, is Welsh was a very descriptive language, especially back in Old Welsh and Middle Welsh. So, like, Welsh words can mean, you know, sometimes even half a dozen things. So when I get into the realms of what this god was a patron of, if you like, or what domain they sort of ruled over, it could be something like that or something similar. But yeah, just I'm just basically caveating myself. So if any little mythology boffins don't jump down my throat. Another thing to mention as well is that God in this sense is kind of a loose term on this list because a lot of these aren't actually outright stated as being gods in the Mabinogion and other works. They're like sometimes they're referenced as more like heroes or like heroes with special powers or magic. But for the sake of this, I'm just going to call them gods because it's I prefer that anyway. Having like an official Welsh pantheon sort of appeals to me. So anyway, to get into it, there are two major houses within the Welsh Celtic gods. Those are the House of Dawn, which is spelled D-O-N, and that's got a circumflex or what in Welsh is called an acengrom over the O.
Oh, I'd call it Ben.
Tor Ali Ben, would you?
Yeah, I'd say Tor Ali Ben. Which is roof on its head.
I was just going to say, I was taught to call it Tor Bach.
Oh, yeah.
Tor Bach, or Little Roof. So just for the English listeners, Tor Ali Ben is a roof on its head, and Tor Bach is Little Roof. So interesting, cut from the same cloth, aren't we?
It extends the noise of it, doesn't it?
Extends the pronunciation of whatever letter it's above, yeah. So, for example, this House of Dawn. More. Without it, without the circumflex above it, it would be Don, as in Don Cheadle. But because it's got the circumflex, it's pronounced Dawn, as in, you know, from dusk till dawn.
Yeah.
And the other house, the other godly house, is called the House of Llyr. Llyr also has one of these little torbachs, these roofs, little roofs, above the Y. Without that, it would be called Llyr instead of Llyr. So we got two houses, House of Dawn and House of Llyr. Before I start with these guys, though, I'm going to mention the first Welsh god called Arawn. Arawn is the king of Annwn. This is the Celtic otherworld that we've mentioned in previous episodes before. This was where people's souls went when they died, but it was also where all the magical species came from, so like all the fairies and like the sort of strange creatures and things like that of mythology. Arawn is sometimes presumed to be evil because of his association with death, but is described as a fairly impartial and fair ruler, so long as you didn't challenge his authority in Annwn. He rides a chariot pulled by two white hounds, which are called the Cún Annwn, or the Hounds of Annwn, in English. And a cool little ancient rhyme I found about him goes like this. Hir yw dydd a hir yw'r nos a hir yw aros Arawn. And that translates to long is the day and long is the night and long is the waiting of Arawn. So it's meant to be convey that no matter how long you have on the planet sort of thing or on Earth, Arawn will outweigh you. Your spirit will eventually go to his kingdom. So I mentioned him first for a reason. That I'll get to that in a bit. But I'll start now with the House of Dawn. So first up is Dawn himself. This is who the house is named after. She or he is depicted as both male and female in different stories. So she's kind of like she or he is kind of like a god / goddess of the land. There's not a lot about her, but he or she is the parent of several They are the parent of several high-ranking gods and goddesses who are about to come up in a bit. They are one of two children of their father, Meddonwy. There's literally fuck all on Meddonwy, though, except for the fact that he's like a parent god and he's more like a primeval force, if you like, than a deity. He's not like a character, if that makes sense. He's kind of like a source of life, if that makes sense. So there's Dawn there. There's not too much about them. And then we've got Math ap Meddonwy. So this is the god of magic, also known as the Magician King. He was Dorne's brother and was a king of Gwynedd for a time. He has a weird thing where when he's ruling, he must have his feet resting in the lap of a virgin at all times, unless the kingdom is at war. Ooh, very good. Unless the kingdom is at war. So he's involved in a story where his nephews, a couple of sons of Dorne, start a war so that they can, this big crime, can rape his virgin footholder, Goywin, when he leaves for battle. I'm going to try, like, what I've done in this list is I've tried to go through it in an order that makes sense with the story. Yeah. So I'll give you a little like piecemeal bits of the stories as we go. So next is Gilvaethry. So there's, again, not very much about this guy, except that he was a son of Dorne. He was nephew to Marth ap Muthonwy, guy I just mentioned. This guy is a bit of a bad egg, and he was the one who raped his uncle's footholder, Goywin, when the king was off in battle that he and his brother started. Next, we got Gwydion. He's a god of magic, as well as a god of trees and magical tools. He's another son of Dorne.
And that's a name we still have in Welsh today. People still get called Gwydion today, don't
they? Right. Yeah, that's right. He is, and you might reconsider how good your name is if your name is Gwydion after this, because he's the second half of the rape duo.
Oh.
And is one, he's the one that started the war with the kingdom of Dyved by selling them herds of cattle that he conjured with magic. Once back in Gwynedd, Gwydion released the spell and the cattle disappeared, sparking the kingdom's fury. Gwydion is often considered the kind of trickster god of the Welsh pantheon.
Floki.
So, yes, a bit like Loki from Norse mythology, or kind of like Hermes from the Greek mythology. Often in stories that he's a part of, he's like an agent of chaos.
He just Futurama.
All that as well. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. The most important pantheon of gods. Next we got Arianrod, or Aranrod, and she is a daughter of Dorne. Is considered a kind of lunar goddess because of her name, which translates to silver wheel. But some historians think she has an older name, which is Aranrod, as opposed to Arianrod. Arian, by the way, is the Welsh word for silver. So Aranrod, which is supposedly an older name of hers, is more linked up to silver stronghold. The translation is sort of more akin to a silver stronghold, a silver fort. It was said that the Corona Borealis, which is like a U-shaped star constellation in the sky above Britain, that was said to be her fortress, which was called Caer Arianrod. After Gilvaethwy raped Goywin, like I said earlier, the king, Marth ap Muthonwy, he needed a new virgin footholder. So Gwydion, Arianrod's brother, I know I'm throwing a lot of names at you at the moment.
That's right. Suggested
that she do it, and that he would use his magical staff to prove Arianrod was a virgin still. He put his staff under her dress, and Arianrod instantly gave birth to two sons. One was called Dylan Aldon, and the other was stolen away by Gwydion without anyone noticing. More on that later. So next is a god called Govanon. That's another son of Dorne. He's the god of smithing, or craftsmanship, if you like, kind of like Hephaestus from Greek mythology, if anyone's familiar with that. Govanon once brewed an ale that could grant you immortality as soon as you drank it, and was tasked with keeping the god's weapons and tools in working order. So that has a hell of a lot to do the same thing with like Hephaestus from Greek mythology. He was like the weapons master of the gods. The next up is Amaethon, god of agriculture and the harvest. Once again, another son of Dorne. We get the Welsh word for agriculture from his name, actually, which is Amaethyddiaeth. Amaethon was responsible for a war between the mortal world and the other world at one point. He stole a dog along with a lapwing and a roebuck from King Aran's kingdom. So the god of the other world, as I mentioned earlier, he went into there and stole three animals. The forces of the other world, they invaded the mortal world then to get these things back, but they were repelled by an army of tree soldiers that Gwydion animated for the fight.
Ents.
Yes, basically Ents, yes. We have decided you are not a Welshman. And Amaethon also plays a part in the story of Culloch and Olwen, when Culloch is tasked with ploughing an impossible field as one of the many tasks given to him to have Olwen's hand in marriage. We mentioned the Culloch and Olwen, or Culloch and Olwen, story in, I think it's either our first or second mythology episode, I'm not sure. So if you want to learn
make this a mythology
that,
one as well. So it's
might as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to hear more about the story, that's one of my favourite Welsh mythology stories, and it's one of the ones we have most info on. But yeah, he's I don't think I include that in the original one that we talked about in the episode, because in that this Culloch needs to do like, it's like 44 different impossible tasks. So I only like cherry picked a few of them, but that was one of them. So next is one that I believe you talked about in one of our other mythology episodes, mate. And that is Llaethau Gyffes.
Oh, yeah.
Our boy, Llaethau Gyffes, one of my favourites. His name means light of the skillful hand. He is the son of Arianrhod, as I mentioned earlier. He is a god of light, very similar to Apollo from Greek mythology or Balder from Norse. He's also got a tiny bit of like Thor mixed in there, as well as a bit of Lu Lam Fada or Lu the Long Arm from Irish mythology. He's kind of like a, you know, a warrior, an honourable warrior kind of figure, kind of deity.
Do you remember when we used to do long arms when we were in a pool?
Long arms.
Whenever we were in like on holiday and we had a pool, we'd always get a can of beer and long arm it. So you got to keep your arm as straight as you can and pour it from a height.
I see. Yeah, sorry. The old high pause. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember we used to long arm it? We used to call it a long arm.
Didn't they make a god out of us? That's a bit annoying, isn't it? What do they call this fucking Jack and Frank's long arms?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be our Viking names.
Yeah. So, what was I? So, Llei, he actually began life completely unnamed. He didn't have a name. He was one of the children that was birthed from Arianrhod when that old virgin test was done by Gwydion, if you remember earlier. Yeah. Please tell me if I'm confusing you. No, I know I'm throwing lots of names and lots of actions and stuff and events.
People can rewind if they get confused.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, once Gwydion did this little virgin test to Arianrhod, magically, through Gwydion, she gave birth to twins. One of them was this Dylanal Don, and the other was this unnamed child that Gwydion whisked away without anybody knowing. So Arianrhod, who thought herself a virgin, or she was a virgin rather, until Gwydion sort of magically messed it up. She was very embarrassed and that she'd seemingly failed this virgin test. And so she put three curses or tongue edai on the yet unnamed Llei. The first curse was that he would never have a name unless she gave him one. The second curse, that he would never wield a weapon unless she gave him one. And the third curse was that he would never marry a woman. Gwydion brought the unnamed boy to Caer Arianrhod one evening, disguised as cobblers. While there, Arianrhod observed the boy strike a bird on its ankle with a stone. Arianrhod commented that the fair-haired one has a skilled hand. Thus, he was given the name Llei Llaw Gyffes, Llei being the Welsh for light and Llaw Gyffes meaning skilled hand. Gwydion came back a second time to the fortress with Llei, this time disguised as bards. While there, Gwydion conjured the illusion of an invading army sailing through the stars to Caer Arianrhod. Taken by surprise, the moon goddess threw Llei some armour and a sword so that he might defend her keep. Thus, Llei was allowed to wield a weapon. To get around their third tongue-ed, Gwydion, or curse, Gwydion consulted his uncle Marth, the magic king, and together they made a woman out of flowers for Llei to marry. Being of magical creation... Exactly, yeah. Being of magical creation and not a mortal woman, Llei was allowed to marry and thus broke the last of his three curses. So yeah, I've tried, by the way, if you haven't noticed, to try and give you little stories within these each ones just to give you a bit of context.
Yeah, and that works really well. Because when you read these things just verbatim, it's like, what the fuck? It makes sense. You know, when they say, oh, you can't marry anything. It's like when we did the Mabinogion episode where... we kind of told them in modern day stories, they make a lot more sense than just saying, oh, you can only be killed if you stood on a goat on a boat or on a
they
tub.
Seem like they make no fucking sense at all. And it's hard to contextualize.
But there's a reason why she's made of flowers, because of the curse, you know, all that stuff that adds.
Exactly.
More sense.
Yeah. So next, I'm going to talk about Llei Llawgyffus's brother, and his name is Dylan Ail Don, or Dylan the Second Wave in English. This was Llei's twin brother, as I mentioned, that was born at the same time during the whole virgin test that Gwydion gave his sister Ariannod.
Virgin.
Exactly. She should have been glad that Gwydion fucking said, nah, she's a shagger, don't worry about it. But he's another sea god, is Dylan Ail Don. Although he's lesser than Llyr, who I'll mention later. He's mainly associated with waves, funnily enough, because his name is Dylan the Second Wave. He's to do with the waves, tide, but also he's associated with like the darkness of the sea. So he's kind of like an opposite in a way of his brother Llei, because Llei Llawgyffus is a god of light.
Is in absent of light, or is in evil?
Darkness is in, yeah, the murkiness, the sort of ambiguity of, you know, you go deep enough in the sea. Yeah, exactly. The unknown, I guess. Because Llei, his brother, who he's a god of light and sort of illumination. Dylan Ail Don is somewhat associated with kind of like a bit more the shadows, murkiness, you know.
The Mariana Trench.
Yeah, the Mariana Trench. He's a Mariana Trench kind of boy, you know. So Dylan managed to avoid these curses from Ariannod. Because as I mentioned earlier, Ariannod put three curses on these two babies, or tried to, but Dylan managed to avoid them because as soon as he was born, Math Ap Meddonwy, he acknowledged him that he was his kin, named him Dylan just before Ariannod could say anything. So as soon as he was named as part of like this godly family, you couldn't put a curse on him. Well, Ariannod couldn't anyway. But Dylan then, as soon as he was baptized, he just flew away to the sea and then took the form of a sea creature. So it was like, cheers for saving me. I'm effing off. I'm going back to the sea, even though he never came from there in the first place. So apparently Dylan can swim as well as any fish in the ocean, and a wave would never break beneath him. So he'd be a fucking top level surfer. But Dylan was accidentally killed by his uncle Gavanon.
I would say Dylan,
but Dylan is because it's got the Y. I always end up saying Dylan. Dylan.
Dylan. Yeah.
But Gavanon, the smith god I mentioned earlier, he accidentally killed Dylan, striking him in the head. Now, I couldn't find why or how the blow to the head happened in the first place. And I was trying to think, well, why is it an accident? You know, there must be some sort of circumstance that makes it an accident. But I couldn't find anything about that. It just said, yeah, he accidentally smashed him in the head. Why was it an accident? Don't know. It happens. Shit happens. But it said that the tides rise to avenge the killing, and that the roar of the tide at the mouth of the Conwy River is thought to be the death groan of Dylan. Next week...
Swish swash. You fucking bastard, you fucking bashed me on the head, didn't you, you bastard?
You no need for that.
You said it was an accident, but I don't
believe
it.
Political bastard. Did you ever see that video? Let's drop that in here. It's so funny. Tyson What's Fury's one, dad. Just going,
oh, yeah.
You're a political bastard.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves, you political bastards.
You pig, you shepherd mallet pig.
You shepherd mallet pig, you political bastard.
Another good one. We'll drop it all in here. The next 10 minutes will be just, Tommy Fury or whatever his name is.
John Fury,
sorry. There's too many of them.
And I'm sick of you getting on, you weasel, making videos like a 14-year-old boy. You just image of a shepherd mallet pig. What's it too much swill?
Anyway, where are we next? So next is Bladeiwedd, who we alluded to earlier. She is the goddess of spring and emotion. She was created by Gwydion and Math Ap Meddonwy for a bride to be for Llei Llawgyffus, as I mentioned earlier, to break that that third curse or the tongue-ed. Bladeiwedd, who was made of oak, broom, and meadowsweet flowers, she actually ends up cheating on Llei with a guy named Gronw, which results in a duel between the two. I'm skipping a lot of the history here and the story, rather. But she is eventually turned into an owl by the same gods that created her as punishment.
An owl is a symbol of hers for this reason, along with a lot of different floral emblems. And if you want to know a bit more about Bladeva's story, Frank's covers it in one of our mythology episodes. Yes, a good one. So that was the House of Dawn. Next up is the House of Llyr. Then after them, I'll go into a few more other deities that they don't really fit into either house, but they're more freelance, but they do still have an effect in the Mabinogion and other works. So first up of the Llyr gang. First up is a guy named Belly Mawr, which is quite funny sounding because it just sounds like in Welsh you're saying big belly. Yeah. But it's actually, Belly was his name. Mawr is like great. So it's like the great belly, which again is funny. So, you know, either way you do
you're
it
still
really.
Having a laugh. That's just free.
I'm still having a laugh. It's just, that's what it is. It's, it keeps on giving. the closest thing, basically, Belly Mawr is the closest thing to a kind of like a patriarch of the Welsh Celtic gods. He's the god of the sun and the sky. He's associated with healing warmth of summer. He was celebrated every May with Beltane Festival, if you've heard of that. He's kind of like this Greek sun god Apollo, in that he rode on a chariot across the sky, dragging the sun with him throughout the day. But Belly Mawr, he...
What era did people believe in this stuff?
So this is the thing. It stretches from like Iron Age up to like when the Romans left, like 300 AD.
Yeah.
And then even beyond, really, like in sort of watered down different versions.
They left 410, didn't they, the Romans? And left started in Wales in 383. But like you said, sometimes they were, when they came here, they were not Christian. But by the time they left, the Romans were Christian, weren't they?
Yeah. So... we would have had our pagan gods, if you like, before they turned up. When the Romans were there, you have this real weird amalgamation. So there's a lot I'll mention later where some gods are kind of like amalgamations of what Roman gods they brought over with them and things like that. Yeah. And sometimes the Romans adopted, certain Romans believed that gods were tied to the land. Certain Romans would pray to Celtic gods when they were over here fighting and things like that, which I thought was like, really interesting, because they found like barracks with like carvings on the timber and things like that of Celtic gods, because they thought there's no point praying to the Roman gods because they're not here.
Yeah,
very interesting. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So yeah, Belly Mawr was like a sun god, and like Apollo in Greek mythology, used to drag the sun in the day across the sky in a chariot. But Belly Mawr, he only had one horse pulling his chariot instead of two. He was also said to have a great shield in the shape of a wheel that could shine like the sun. And he also wielded lightning bolts in some descriptions as well. So a bit like Zeus from Greek mythology. The next one here is Nydd Llaw Eraint, or Llydd Llaw Eraint, as he's sometimes called. So if you didn't pick up what I've done there, I'll just change the Nydd to Llydd. It's something to do with like the etymology through the years. But basically, he was a son of Belly Mawr, a sky god. He was a king of ancient Britain for a time after his father gave up the title. He also founded Caer Llydd, which then became London, supposedly. And while he was there, after it had been founded, he fought off three plagues that, you guessed it, plagued the city. The first was the Coroniaid, which were basically... yeah, I know. It's, I did think that when I was writing. I was like, Coroniaid, Corona, old fucking...
My Sharona.
Exactly. So the Coroniaid, it sounded like they were basically just fucking nuisances. They were just, they weren't like these big horrible enemies or anything, or like creatures. They were people-sized like animals, but they would cause a nuisance and would just bother everyone. And they could never be captured. They just could. They had like a magical thing about them. They could never be captured or pushed out of the city, because their hearing was so good, they could hear anything that the wind touched. Supposedly, so anything.
What would they do?
Well, they just go around like pushing people over and like stealing food and stuff like that. And it was, but because they could hear anything the wind touched was the exact quote. You couldn't sneak up on them because their hearing was so good. They'd scurry away before you could grab them and then chuck them out of the city. The second plague then was one that came, it was a roar, a giant roar that came every May Day, and it would make every pregnant woman in the city at the time, miscarry.
Oh, God.
Yeah, pretty grim. And then the third plague was the disappearance of food and provisions that no one could explain. Back. Yeah, exactly. Old Belly Mouth. So Neith, then, he eventually bested these three plagues. He used brass horns to hide his conversations from the Coronii'd and hatched a plan that involved throwing a potion made of insects over the whole city. The potion was poisonous to the Coronii'd, but not to humans, so they, all the Coronii'd were killed in one fell swoop. Basically,
if you played Baldur's Gate, there's that potion that has, like, critter legs or something.
Exactly. It's like, it's what's it, like biological warfare for back in the ancient Celt times. The second plague he found was caused by the battling of the red Welsh dragon and the white English dragon.
This is the third plague, isn't it?
Second plague, this is.
I thought the first one was the miscarriage. The first one was the sneaking up the people. Then the Coronii'd,
yeah. Second one is the roar that would cause people to miscarry. So this second one, that he found out the roar was caused by the red Welsh dragon and the white English dragon. They were fighting. So he eventually fed both dragons mead to make them sleep, then locked them in a stone chest at Dinas Emrys. You might remember the Arthurian tale about those dragons. I think you covered that as well.
We do. That's a good story.
Yeah. So that's where they find those two dragons, like in an eternal fight. So then the third plague then, which was the food being stolen all the time, it was caused by a wizard making everyone fall asleep with magic before he stole the city's food. Neith confronted and beat the wizard by bringing a pot of freezing cold water to the fight that he'd splash on himself to keep himself awake. So that doesn't sound like the most cinematic fight. They're just essentially going splash, splash, going, oh, come on, Neith, keep it up, mate, you can do it.
What's that film where you can't fall asleep? It might be a Simpsons episode where Grant... Oh, it's, the one with the paedophile scissorhand.
The one with the paedophile scissorhand.
Who's the famous horror guy who's got...
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. His thing is you can't fall asleep. He'll get you in your sleep.
That's right.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
So I need to quickly go for a wee.
So now we have then is a guy called Gwyn Ap Nedd. And as we mentioned before, Ap in Welsh is like son of. And this is the guy is the son of the guy I just mentioned, so Nedd Llaw Eraint. So Gwyn Ap Nedd, sometimes called the White Son of the Mist, which I thought was a pretty fucking cool name. Like I said, he was Nedd or Llydd's son and was Beli Mawr's grandson, if you're trying to keep up with this kind of the family tree. Franco, you talk about Gwyn Ap Nedd actually in your episode on the Tylwyth Teg that you did, the fairy folk of Wales. He's basically king of the fairies, which sounds like a much it's a much less cool name than Son of the Mist. I think like that's because I think back then,
like Carry On Camping or something.
I was gonna say the king of the fairies back then probably would have been quite an esteemed title because like fairies back then had different connotations to now, but because me and grew up in like backwater pubs. Yeah, exactly. King of the Fairies. I can just imagine some fucking big fat gammon in my local pub back in St. Athan doing like a limp wrist saying that. You know? Oh, Gwyn Ap Nedd, King of the Fairies. But anyway, so he started out, Gwyn Ap Nedd, as a pretty benevolent god.
So benevolent is good, malevolence bad. Yes. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Right. So he was kind of like a, like I said, this King of the Fairies Association. He was very high-spirited and positive and all that.
Does but, sound like a euphemism again.
Well, yeah.
My son's quite high-spirited, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
He's just very happy, okay? He's very gay. But anyway, what happened is, in later stories, he sort of, especially after like the Christian influence and things like that, he became more of a like... a dark god of the dead, and is associated a lot with the Wild Hunt, which is a common, if you don't know, is a common sort of Western European theme in mythologies. It's kind of like an ethereal hunting party that can be seen in the mortal realm. So they're That's like creepy. Often, yeah, it's like it's meant to be like a scary kind of, you know, if you don't and want the Wild Hunt humans. To come around for you. Sometimes they're usually hunting other. Supernatural things that have escaped into the mortal realm, but usually you don't whelm. Sorry.
It's in the mortal realm, actually.
The mortal realm, right? And yeah, basically, you don't want to come. In a lot of mythologies, you don't want to come across the wild.
You don't want to come across them.
You don't. Listen. Don't mess with wild man.
Don't want to mess with the wild.
Bark off, bro. Bark off, bro. Yeah. So he also played a part, this Gwynapni, in Culhwch and Olwen, as I mentioned, the story I mentioned earlier. But this is before he became king in the other world. So he was a human at this point. Oh, sorry, at that point in the story. It's worth mentioning as well, although he's king of the other world, he is a king, sorry, of the other world. Arawn, that I mentioned first, he's the king. It's a slight but definite definition, if that makes sense. Next, I've got Llyr, or Llyr Llediaeth, which is what the house is named after. He is the god of the sea, god of connection, and god of fatherhood as well. As we've mentioned on here before, water was a huge deal to the Celts.
It's quite funny because we've never had a naval presence.
No, I know. It's strange, isn't it?
All of us surrounded by water.
That's how, England fucked us several times, didn't they? Because they could just pull up on our coastline, basically. We wouldn't have any defence against it. Sorry, just taking a swig. But as I mentioned before, we've mentioned before in the past, Celts put a lot of spiritual stock in water. They thought lots of lakes and things like that were gateways to the other world, or Annwn. They saw the god of the sea as also a god of connection, because they looked at the seas as something that connected all the lands of the world. So he had a bit of an all-encompassing remit, this Llyr. Llyr was another son of Beli Mawr, and Llyr is considered one of the bigger gods of the pantheon. He's very powerful or very highly revered. He pops up briefly in the story of Culhwch and Olwen as well, and he's also father to a few other very popular and more well-known deities in Welsh mythology, including Rhiannon, Bendigeidfran, and Branwen. Next, we have Penarddin. That's the goddess of beauty and authority. Not much to say about her, to be honest, apart from that she was Llyr's wife. It's unsure if she was Beli Mawr's sister or daughter, which would make Llyr her brother, if it was the latter. But you only need to have a look at some other cultures and pantheons, and incest isn't really that big a deal in a lot of mythology.
Look at modern royal families.
Well, exactly, yeah. You don't even have to look as far back. Yeah, sorry. We're cutting everything with a fine knife today. Next up is Rhiannon, who some people might have heard of. She's one of the more popular Welsh goddesses. Rhiannon is the goddess of the land, sovereignty, forgiveness, and horses. I did hate that she was the goddess of sovereignty, because I can't not associate that word with Brexit now. So now I've got my image in my head of Rhiannon going, "Brexit means breakfast."
Oh, those people who call themselves sovereign citizens, during COVID.
I am a sovereign citizen.
It's the Magna Carta.
I pray to the goddess Rhiannon. God
of sovereignty.
You can't
close my barbers because of the Magna Carta. Yeah. Oh, I give it to you.
Every man's house is his castle.
King John gave the Magna Carta.
So Rhiannon, she's often likened to Epona, which is a Gaulish horse goddess, Gaul being the homeland of where all the Celts came from. She was also a daughter of Llyr, as I mentioned earlier. She was the daughter, of Llyr and Penarddin. She was also the wife of a guy named Pwyll, a god I'll mention in a second. She's also described consistently as intelligent, strategic, beautiful, and generous, and being unable to be caught on horseback, even when riding slowly. And I thought that was really funny, because it's is it if she's riding slowly, it puts a limiter on your horse, you can't catch her?
Another one of those weird little, there must be a story why, but it just on paper, oh, this just seems very, I think I said that in other mythology ones, it seems nonsensical or no reason. Until you realize,
it'd be one thing if they said
she could travel, she could ride so fast on a horse, you know, no one could catch her.
Catch her.
Brilliant. Yeah. But to go, even when she's riding slowly, like, what do you mean? So, well, like, no matter how hard I'm riding, I still can't catch her.
And the thing is, that's really shown that one where I mentioned earlier about when they said, oh, he can only be killed when his foot's on the goat.
I think that's
on the
that's the one with Llau Gyffes, isn't it? It's like, yeah, they're trying to conspire to kill him.
I remember reading that the first time, thinking, why? That's stupid. That's not interesting. But then when you read it in a form of a story, it's because that's their way of outthinking the curse that's on them.
Like you said before, it's more of a lateral thinking kind of test, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like,
a good way of saying it,
I think it's something like, you can't kill him inside or can't kill him outside. Yeah. So he needs
to
have one foot.
He can't be dry.
Exactly. Yeah. So he needs one foot in the bath, one foot out. Yeah. It's like sort of trying to outthink a curse, isn't it?
Yeah, and he can't be crawling. It can't be like sitting. Yeah. He can't be standing. So he's stood on a goat or something. Yeah, but
it's sort of like trying to cleverly outthink a certain set of rules. Yeah. But it doesn't make sense. When you read the story, it doesn't explain that. It just says, this is how it is.
Well, not when you read the story, but when you read the conditions and stuff.
Yeah, if you're just reading it from like Wikipedia and stuff like we very often do, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, that's the thing. I think when we first started doing this podcast like a year ago, we were probably guilty of just doing the basic stuff. And then since then, we've read like, we buy books on it and it's so much more helpful.
Oh, buddy, I got reams and reams of books on my shelf now. Yeah, so, you know, we're learned men these days. Anyway, sorry. I'll go back to it. So the end of Rhiannon's thing. So the only thing left to say about Rhiannon is she's associated with three magical birds that apparently can wake the dead and also sing the living to sleep. So that's sort of like her magical items, if you like.
I love it when they have little things like that with them.
That's what makes it to me. I love them having little weapons or trinkets that have like these special like abilities.
Especially coming you were nerds who play games. You could picture that quite gamified, couldn't you?
Like, like you said earlier, having Baldur's Gate in your inventory, you know, that's what I want. So, Pwyll Penanun. He is the god of instincts and intuition. He was the husband of Rhiannon. He was an old king of Dyved in the Mabinogion stories. He was also very good mates with Arawn, the king of the Otherworld I mentioned at the start. The reason they became good mates is because they swapped places for a year. I should mention that when they swapped places, they also swapped forms. So Pwyll looked like Arawn looked like Pwyll. And
can you explain what the house is then? So why are they different houses? What
constitutes? They're just like they're just
families.
Just different families. Yeah, that's what I mean. There's like that sort of blend between are they gods or are they just people? Yeah. You know, with magical powers. Did I explain that right, by the way? So Pwyll went to Anun in Arawn's form.
He was the
Arawn
first came to heard of from the dawn.
Arawn came to Dyved in Pwyll's form, right? They swapped places for a year. So when Pwyll was in...
A la Freaky Friday.
Yes, basically like the original Freaky Friday. This is what it's based on, basically. Jamie Lee Curtis, Lindsay Lohan, you get the fucking gist. So Pwyll, when he was in Anun, in Arawn's shape, he killed a rival to the throne of the Otherworld. So Arawn was so chuffed with this that he gave him the title Pen Anun, or Head of Anun in English. He also apparently, and this is great, he apparently let Pwyll shag his wife for a whole year after that as well, as a thanks. So King cuck. Of the Spirit World, absolute cuck, yeah. Total cuck. I love that, just going, oh, thanks so much for beating him, you know, I'll use this title for you. Do you want to fuck my wife for a year? I was actually thinking about getting home. Nah, come on, stay around.
And I'm watching.
I'm just watching, all right? So, Pwyll also adventures with King Arthur in the story Culhwch and Olwen. Again, check out our episode on that if you haven't seen it already. It's very good. He also has a magical cauldron. It was called the Cauldron of Plenty, which could supply him and his kingdom with endless food. Yes, please. Give me a bit of Cauldron of Plenty, I'd say. The next in this list is a guy called Pryderi. He was the son of Pwyll and the goddess Rhiannon. He's a major figure in the Welsh Mabinogion. He's the only hero to appear in all four branches of the epic stories. He joined Bendigeidfran, or Bran the Blessed, as well as a bunch of other Welsh heroes to Ireland to save the Princess Branwen. Another one we talk about in the mythology episode, so give that a check that out if you haven't heard that already. Next we got the man himself, Bran, or Bendigeidfran.
or Bran the Blessed in English. This is a son of Llyr and Penarddin, brother to Branwen, Manawydan, and half-brother to Nisien and Efnisien, and I'll mention all them in a little bit. Bran was also a king of ancient Britain and was described as a giant. He was so big, apparently, it was said that no building could ever be built that was big enough to house him. Therefore, he and his cohort slept in an enormous tent. Now, to me, that's oxymoronical, because you can't build a building big enough for it, but you can build a tent big enough. Like, surely the same rules apply. Anyway, that's Welsh mythology for you. He also possessed a cauldron of rebirth, which you could pop a dead body into and it come back to life.
AKA Call of Duty Rebirth.
Call of Duty Rebirth. Yeah. It's all, if you think about it, everything today is based on this. Call of Duty Rebirth, Freaky Friday, where will it end? We don't know. Well, stay tuned and find out. Bendigeid Bran, or Bran the Blessed, he plays a pivotal part in the story Bram and Verclir, as you can imagine. Again, another one we cover in a different episode. But to sum it up, the King of Ireland marries his sister Branwen. The King of Ireland mistreats her when they go back to Ireland, and this forces Bran to muster an army and go fight the Irish. In the story, I was always told Bran's men sailed to Ireland, but Bran himself was so big he walked across the sea alongside his ships. And I think we mentioned before in it, there's that, you can get that kind of illustrated.
I got it for you.
You did.
There's a really good like a Mabinogion poster, and then a very kind listener, aka and friend of the show, Dan, got me one. Mm.
Yeah, so he also got me one, so I got two.
Oh, arrogant!
He didn't realize. Yeah, sorry to show off. He didn't. He didn't realize you got me one, so I got two now. But yeah, on that, it's got a really good on the west coast. You can see Bran going along with his like wading through the sea over to Ireland. It's very cool. So, although the King of Britain was technically successful in his battle with the Irish, he was mortally wounded there. And so his men chopped his head off, which stayed alive for another 80 years, and advised his men before he finally died and has head buried in what is now London, apparently. So that was Bendigeid Bran, or Bran the Blessed. Next up is Branwen, daughter of Llyr and Penarddin, again, and sister to Bran the Blessed. Branwen wasn't a giant like her brother, but is consistently described as extremely beautiful, which is fitting, as she's often called the goddess of beauty and love. She had a rough go of it in her main story, Branwen Ver Llyr, when she's betrothed to the Irish king, Matholwch, as I mentioned earlier. She gets taken to Ireland. She's abused there by the Irish king until she summons a starling to send a message of help her brother, Bran. She had a son called Gwern with Matholwch, but quite grimly, Gwern was thrown into a fire as a baby by Branwen's half-brother, Efnisien, just before the battle between the Welsh and the Irish breaks out. Next up is Manawydan, another son of Llyr and Penarddin, as well as brother to Bran and Branwen. Manawydan is the god of humility and skill, and was said to be one of the best warriors of the old Celtic gods. As a testament to this, he was one of only seven men to survive the battle against the Irish and King Matholwch in Bran an Ver Llyr. I'm aware I mention this story a lot in this sort of section, by the way, because everyone's to do with it. But yeah, he's basically one of the big heroes. He pops back up later in some story of the Mabinogion as well. He actually marries Rhiannon later on as well, after her first husband, Pwyll, dies at some point. Next up, we've got Eirosoedd. He's not a god as such, but he's certainly someone considered powerful, as they once captured Llyr, god of the sea. We mentioned he was like kind of one of the bigger gods. Eirosoedd is noted as being a male figure, but he also produced twin sons with Llyr while he was captured. So it's suggested this was done by magic, but there's also lots of weird conceptions in folk tales and myths, so that's not too unusual. He's noted as being a bit of a baddie. He's like a bit of a villain character in the tales that we do have of him. Which leads me to Nisien and Efnisien. These are the twin sons of Llyr and Eirosoedd, the guy I just mentioned, the magician. These two brothers are opposing gods, with Nisien being the god of light, tranquility, generousness, and peace, and Efnisien being the god of darkness, destruction, vindictiveness, and hostility. kind of like a Celtic yin and yang, if you like. Omniscient plays a big part in the story of Bram and Valkyr when Bendigeidwran and some of the other gods and heroes travel to Ireland to rescue Bram from the Irish king, Matholwch. If you know that story, Omniscient is the one who initially offends the Irish king by killing his horses. Do you remember that when we talked about that one?
Yeah.
So he's the one who sets off the whole chain of events that leads to the destruction of Ireland and eventually to Bendigeidwran's death. He was the one, as I mentioned, who also threw Branwen's infant son into the fire. So he's not a good guy. He's a bit of a nasty boy. So that was all the House of Hlir. And then I've got just a couple more here now, and they're not sort of connected to any family house, but they have a lot of dealings with the gods and goddesses here and there. So first one up is Ceridwen. She's the goddess of inspiration. She was a powerful mystic who could brew a cauldron full of a potion that would bestow intelligence and inspiration on any who drank it. In one story, this is supposedly, people think that Taliesin himself wrote this. Taliesin was her student and servant for a time, and he ended up actually stealing this potion and drinking it, leading him to be the famous writer and poet that we sort of know from history. The next one is Modron. This is the goddess of motherhood. Not a huge amount on her, but apparently she's like the Welsh version of the goddess Matrona, who was a Celtic god of motherhood in Gaul. She also features a bit in Colchach na Olwen. And last but not least, and this is kind of a pseudo-god, really, but this is Taliesin himself. So you've probably heard about Taliesin before. He comes up lots when you you look into all Welsh mythology, because he was an actual real-life poet, thought to have lived around the mid-6th century. He wrote loads of stories and poetry, but bards and poets from much later ages would write their poetry and tales in Taliesin's name. It was kind of like a mark of like respect and sort of like you dedicate a poem or a story to him, but also you were much more likely to have your poem read if you had Taliesin at the end of it. So
a bit of clout.
So it kind of makes it seem like Taliesin's work stretched over like an impossibly long period of time, and in sort of later ages, Taliesin kind of became someone you would pray to or like sort of call upon if you need some inspiration. So he's often referred to as like the god of bards and poets. And there we have it. That's the list of Welsh Celtic gods I've got.
Well, it was a long old history, very well told. But because this episode's gone on for a little bit, should we wrap up? Because we were going to run out of our hours on Riverside for our next episode.
We'll wrap it up.
That was very interesting and very well told. And
Thank you very much,
not overwhelming, because I get overwhelmed by lots of names, so you avoided that. Thanks for listening.
Cheers, babe.
Review, like, subscribe, all that stuff. It really helps us out. So if you got this far,
please,
and listened to the end of the podcast, I always think you're a true fan if you get to an end of a podcast. Please drop us a review and a comment and share with your mates. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Jump magic, jump magic, jump magic.